Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2008. The topic is mindset, and the title is Calming Anxiety During Diets. All of my online clients have an online journal. It's a Google Doc. They can write in 24/7. I can respond to them every week. It's really awesome because it's basically a live journal. Anytime they think anything, they can throw it in there and I can respond. They also have access to me via email, text message, or phone call. We set up Zooms as needed. So try to keep communication as open as possible. But the online journal I really like as it's a form of a diary, which then promotes people to kind of open up their thoughts. And then that helps kind of expose more things that may or may not like be a positive or a negative contribution towards us making progress. It just helps. The more I know, the more I can help with. This client specifically we're going to talk about in today's podcast, in a previous journal entry, they said that they were needy as a client. And in my mind, I'm like, that probably doesn't feel good to say that. I wonder what they mean by that. Like, maybe there's a way I can kind of clarify that it's okay. You know? So I asked them what they meant by needy. And they said the following. I guess the reason I say I'm needy is because when I get upset about my progress or need questions answered, I want it right then. It's kind of hard for me to explain. When I'm fine, I'm fine. When I start to panic about things, I need help right then. Does that make sense? And I'm going to go through a little bit more about my answer, but yeah, hell yeah, it makes sense. That's very normal. So it can be challenging with really anyone. Like, I mean, if you work with any profession, if you have a question in the moment, can you pick up a phone and call them? Often not. Being the person who's the professional on this end of the relationship, just the amount of people I work with, the fact that I have my own personal things I'm trying to accomplish and crush every day, relationship that I am wanting to grow and foster, and then just life. It would be impossible in my mind if all my clients could call me on a whim and I would answer it every single time. I would love to be able to do that, but it's just not practical. So whenever she was saying she wants help right then, I'm not, like, in my mind, she has the 24/7 doc, like journal document. She can enter a thing anytime. She could text me and say, hey, you know, I'm in major need. Can you give me an answer by the end of the day? And I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it. You know, so now I'll answer back when I got a time gap that day. So there's definitely a degree of speediness to the response. I can get anybody a response by the end of the day and probably sooner than that. But in the immediacy of the anxiety of the moment, meaning let's say they missed a meal or they ate something they shouldn't have eaten, can they call that very second? Probably not. And that would just be the nature of really any kind of relationship with a profession. So what I wanted them to realize was that feeling is normal, it's okay, but there are also things we can do to lessen that feeling. And that's the key. Like, knowing it's normal, sure, how does that help me? You know, how do we take that next step? So when she wrote, does that make sense? I wrote the following. Yes, that makes sense. It's a basic human trait. And if we are sensitive or if that trait is heightened for an individual, it can be more of an intense feeling for them than other people. Some clients I work with, they're actually okay in the unknown. I know for the majority of us, that would freak us out. But if they don't really know what they're doing, or like maybe they made some changes to nutrition that day, I'll find out about it 2 or 3 days later and then be like, oh, okay, well, you did well. Or I'll say, oh, okay, maybe next time do this or this. But they just kind of made a decision. They moved on with their life, and they almost forget to tell me. There are those clients. And then there are clients where the second anything goes wrong, they freak out, and they want to quit everything. And then it's usually the discussion of, well, you know, if we're doing some things right, and then we do a thing wrong, and then our response is to just go back to all wrong. That's not going to help us. We gotta keep some right in there, so we can't just quote unquote quit and go back to just doing willy nilly nothing, because willy nilly nothing got us probably where we were, and we didn't like where we were. So we have to kind of rein that in a little bit. So I wrote, I continued, a way to combat this is to make a chart, whether it's electronic or on paper. Some people like paper charts and tracking, some people like electronic, and then track daily tasks. If you see yourself doing well consistency-wise in the chart, it can calm anxiety when you make a mistake or when you have an unknown situation, an unknown element, when there is that anxious feeling that would start to rise. We can look at that chart and say, hey, I might not know what I'm doing right now. Or, dang, I just made a mistake. I ate the wrong thing. But I can see in the chart concrete evidence that for the majority of things, I'm doing well and I'm doing better than I was doing before. And that calms anxiety very, very, very well. So for this client, what I want them to track is daily calories, daily protein, and daily sugar. We talk about this quite a bit in the podcast, that those are kind of the main things I have clients track. And then we do pay attention to timing and distribution of our calories and protein. But the main things is we want calories, a certain range per day. Let me give you this client's numbers while we're talking about it. So this client is eating between 1,600 to 1,900 calories a day, a minimum of 100 grams of protein, and we want to stay under 60 grams of sugar. That's their targets. How many carbs and fats? Who cares? There are like reasons why we'd pick one versus the other, but we don't have a predetermined percentage or a predetermined amount per day. And then when they could eat kind of fits whatever it fits their schedule. Whether it's one or two meals in the morning, one or two meals in the middle of the day, one or two at the end of the day, we're just kind of trying to blend the food out throughout the rest of the day. So that's where I said is if you want more detail, so maybe tracking calories, protein, and sugars isn't detailed enough. And yes, I have people where that is not enough detail. So they'll track things a little bit deeper because they feel like the more nuances they can control, the more control they have overall. So what we'll also then track is our time blocks. And I've talked about this before is we typically sleep 6 to 8 hours a day. That means we're awake for 16 to 18 hours a day. I want to divide that awake time by 3. So maybe the first 6-ish hours of being awake, then the second 6 hours of being awake, and then the remaining amount of time being awake. In the first 6 hours, we want to aim for a third of our calories and protein. And that makes sense because the first 1/3 of the day, we eat 1/3 of our calories and protein. Then the next 6 hours would be the next 1/3 of the day. We're going to aim for another 1/3 of our calories and 1/3 of our protein. Then in the final hours of being awake, the final 1/3 of the day, we aim for 1/3 of our calories and 1/3 of our protein. So it makes it kind of easy to understand there. So if you chart these on a daily basis, I told her, you'll feel more at peace because you'll know you're getting more quote-unquote right than quote-unquote wrong. And even in the wrong, or even in our mistakes, even in the unknown, you'll still know you're moving in the right direction. And that is really going to help her calm her anxiety, is knowing that through all the muck, through the madness, through the chaos, through the uncertainty, through the unknown, she can definitively see that she is making progress. She can definitively see that she is getting more right now in these moments than she was getting before. And that can be of huge, huge, huge progress. Now, the next thing I said was if she had questions, she could write them in the journal. That's what the journal's for. She can access it 24/7, write in anything. I'll respond to it as quick as I can. And then I tell my clients is if you need a response that day, just shoot me a text and say, hey, I put something in the journal. Can you check it out today when you get a chance? Awesome. Done. Great. The next thing was in our previous response, I had told her that in her anxiety feelings, she was saying that she wasn't sure like she didn't feel like things were changing. She didn't know if she was actually doing things right enough to make progress. She was just uncertain about the process. And I wrote back and said, well, we've only been working together for technically a month, 4 weeks, but one of the weeks she was on vacation. And you think about typically the first week, you're just trying to figure things out. There wouldn't have been a high degree of accuracy to what we were doing. We were trying to figure out what our daily calories, protein, and sugars, like what meals we eat to get to those numbers. The first week is just kind of figuring things out. The second week sometimes isn't really any better, but you're maybe getting a little bit more of a hang of it. And then she went a week on vacation, and then she's back for a week. And the week that she was back, we only had one good day. We only had one day within our targets. So I expressed that there really hasn't been any degree of consistency enough to know if what we're doing is working, because we're not actually doing what we're doing. We're not actually following the program yet. We're learning the program, but we're not following the program. So she wrote back, "You're right. It's only been a few weeks, and a full week of that was vacation. I need to chill and give it more time. I'm not good at that." I responded, "No one is good with that." So no one is good with patience. The tracking information above that I wrote in her journal will help calm your patience as well, since you'll know what is being done versus not done, and you'll have more certainty of what to expect. If we're only getting about 50% of our targets right on 50% of our days, then we can expect only 50% of an outcome. So for example, if we only had one good day out of seven, whatever the percentage of that is what we should be expecting. If she wants faster progress, continue to grind, continue to work at figuring out how to make these numbers every day. Now, I'm giving a lot of food ideas, like we talk about supplements, we talk about timing of meals, how much of carbon fat-based foods versus how much proteins, what are good food pairings. We talk about all that, so we're working through it. But it's good to understand that I only get the results of what I'm doing. I might feel the pressure of, hey, I'm following this diet. No. We're aware of the diet and we're working on the diet, but how much are we actually following? And I'll come back to that in a second. She then said, well, I'm trying to really stay on track now that we're back from vacation, and we had a couple other kind of family celebrations and events, and she's hoping with those things being behind her that it'll go a little bit better in the future. However, she has another trip coming up in the middle of this next month, so she's a little worried about how that will go. I said, I'm glad things have calmed down for the most part. Even when traveling, practice with your nutrition app and still guesstimate your food intake. Maybe track it in your mind. One of the greatest things about those time blocks, the one-third of the day kind of concept, is it's only 6 hours. You're probably only going to eat once or twice during those 6 hours. So she knows, okay, I need to have roughly about 500 to 700 calories per 6 hours. Well, in one or two meals, make up 500 to 600, 700 calories. She knows she has to have roughly about 30 grams of protein. So in one or two meals in those 6 hours, make up 30 grams of protein. She only has to track one or two meals at a time, track to the number of calories she needs per 6 hours and the protein she needs per 6 hours. That's relatively simple to do in general, so to speak. But it simplifies things. Rather than worrying about a 24-hour day and many, many meals, we only have to worry about one or two meals in a six-hour block. Much better. To give you an idea of what we would do in regards to like tracking, like I do this with all of my clients that have nutrition components, is I help them track things. I actually track it every week, and we see what they were doing for their targets. So for example, their macronutrient targets. I said for her calories are 1,600 to 1,900 calories. Protein is 100 grams minimum. Sugars is 60 grams or less. So on May 2nd, She had 1,648 calories, 140 grams of protein, and 61 grams of sugar. That's a good job. Calories are in range. Great. Protein is above the minimum. Great. Our sugars, we're 1 gram over. That's not significant in any way. Absolutely great job. Excellent day. Well done. And she distributed the calories very well as well throughout the day. Pretty even blend throughout the day. On May 1st, she only had 1,438 calories, 107 grams of protein, and 39 grams of sugar. So she did great with her protein, did great with her sugars. Very well done. However, the calories were actually too low. And yes, there is a too low. So I wrote back to her and gave her some details about the foods and everything. But I said that we do need to count days that are too low as days where we missed targets. It is actually harmful for fat loss long term if we are too low in calories. So we want to work on bringing up our portions so that way we don't end up the day too low in calories. Then on April 30th, she tracked a couple meals, but not the whole day. So we got to see that, some of the meals were good, but we don't really know what happened for the whole day. On April 29th, same thing. She tracked breakfast and lunch, but didn't track anything else. So I gave her feedback on breakfast and lunch, but we don't really know what the day ended up as. On April 28th, it was incomplete. On April 27th, it was incomplete. So based on the incomplete entries, it looked like she would have been behind quite a bit in calories. Probably okay in protein and sugar, but behind in calories if she had a typical dinner. So assuming she had a typical dinner, those days were probably going to be low in calories. So that's 4 days low in calories after already being low a day in calories. And then on April 26th, we have a full day entry. Yay. It was 1,545 calories, 130 grams of protein, 63 grams of sugar. So again, low in calories. Good protein, 3 grams of sugar over the 60 mark isn't significant, no worries. But we are, again, low in calories. So we have to really figure this out. We have to increase the portions at breakfast, lunch, and or snacks so that way she doesn't end the day low. Like, we need to check in somewhere in the app during the day to know what to have for dinner, to know what to have for the rest of the day. Or just track per 6 hours. If you know you're within your right range on each 6 hour block, you're fine. If you know you're a little low in the first 6 hours, then you know to try to make that up in the next 2 units of 6 hours. So you can just track per 6 hours of the day and be perfectly fine and consistent. Or if you track per day, somewhere in the middle of the day, you got to figure out where you're at so you don't end the day low. Then the last day we had there in the 8 days that I checked for this one was 1,496 calories, 163 protein, and 47 sugars. So again, we're low. It's only 104 calories lower. So that's significant. She is likely under eating because she thinks that's going to help her lose fat faster. It will not. Absolutely 100% will not. And that is something that you can learn more about. Let me bring up a podcast that you can go check out. Let's see here, too little calories. There is a podcast that we talk about, are you eating enough to lose weight? So let me see here, eating enough. Okay, podcast 1,911. It's a nutrition podcast titled, are you eating enough to lose weight? She is actually under eating, thinking that's going to help. It will not. She will feel like crap. She'll have low energy. She'll have high cravings. Her metabolism will reduce to the calories she's consuming and actually making fat loss harder and making weight gain easier in the future. We have got to eat more. So I said over the past 8 days, we've had 1 day within target. 3 days, we don't know because we didn't finish the journal. 4 days, we don't know because we didn't finish the journal. And then we had 3 days that we had a complete journal, but we were outside of the target. So we had 1 out of 8 days that we were in the right range. So in order for us to make progress, what do we need to do? We need to increase the calories from carbs and fats. Yes, for her to lose weight, she needs to eat more carbs and fats. I talk about this actually in a post that I made. By the time you listen to this podcast, it'll be like 2 or 3 days ago. You'll see one of my clients, Lauren Rutan. She's an IFBB pro and elite total powerlifter. She was making weight for a 123-pound weight class for a powerlifting meet, and we actually had to feed her more carbohydrates per day to drive weight loss down because it was able to reduce cortisol, body stress, and that reduced water retention, and she actually weighed less and less as we ate more and more carbs. So we actually had to eat more carbs to lose weight. That sounds crazy, but it's absolutely how the body works at times, depending on the situation you're in. So that was what I asked for this client to do, was increase calories from carbs and fats. She's been doing great with her protein. We don't need more protein. We need carbs and fats. And then track more days. So that way we have a better idea of what's going on. So out of that week back from vacation, if we're really wanting to push for results, if we really truly want to make some progress, we've got to see what we're doing to know what we're getting. And then on the days we are tracking, track it in the time blocks or check into it in the middle of the day. We got to figure out before the end of the day where we're at so we don't just end the day low, when a simple check-in would have ensured that we would have known to eat more at dinner. So going back to the title, calming anxiety during diets. How do we do that? Is track what you're doing. Track your daily activities. Track your actions. The things that you're supposed to be doing. The daily to-dos. You know, all that little nitty-gritty work. Track that stuff. Don't just track results. Track efforts. Track your efforts and they'll lead to results. If you track results, you're going to be blinded to what you're doing inaccurately or inefficiently or just not doing in your efforts. So track your efforts. Track your daily to-dos. Track the nitty-gritty details. The more you're aware of what's going on, the more in control you will feel, and that will lessen anxiety. Hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions, if you need anything, reach out to me on our website, www.brittleirongym.com. We have nutrition coaching services. We have a ton of free content as well. So anything you need, it's on there. So, and you can also send me a message at the bottom of the homepage. There's a contact form, so you can always contact me if you have any questions. Awesome. Well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in a podcast, you can find more information from us on our social media channels. I post on Instagram pretty much every day. I'm posting new videos on YouTube about 3 times a week, trying to make that more consistent. But I got 3 videos up a week recently. So really good stuff, good training stuff. And it's all in addition to what we talk about in the podcast. It's all different information. So if you like the podcast, please go follow us on Instagram. Please go subscribe on YouTube and see the other content that I produce on a regular basis. Awesome. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.